Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. Today, we're going to go into the fifth Psalm, Psalm number 5. And it's 12 verses long. We may get through half of it. We may get through all of it. I'm not quite sure. But we see a similar structure to what we've seen in the previous Psalms. Okay. So it starts off with a title, in which in the English Standard Version, the title is included in the first verse. And the title is this: To the Choir Master, For the Flutes, a Psalm of David. Let me just check something here. I just crossed my mind. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. The New American Standard says, For the Choir Director, for flute accompaniment. And that's the right idea. The Lexham says, For the Music Director, with the flutes. Yeah, that's good too. You know, the choir director, we usually associate that with a vocal type of thing, and that's correct. You know, it is a vocal thing. But, you know, it's also the whole music thing. The King James, you just got to love it. To the chief musician, upon Neholith. And you look up that little word right there, and you find out that the definition means this: uncertain. In other words, we don't know what it is. Okay, and it's only found in this title right here, this psalm. And it may mean a name for a melody, okay? And we name melodies all the time. Most time people don't know that, but we actually do name a particular melody. And or it may be a musical instrument, okay? But we don't know exactly what it means. It may mean flute. Okay, that type of musical instrument. Some people lean that way and say that's what it means. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. I just don't want us to be dogmatic, right? But the idea being that David's given insight into this. He sent it to the music guy, the choir master, and he said, hey, chief musician, here's this psalm, and I want you to do this upon the Neholith, whether it means with this melody right here, are using the flute accompaniment. And, you know, I'm sort of drawn to that flute sound. We're thinking a particular kind of thing, right? We're thinking of sort of a pastoral type of thing, you know, chasing butterflies through the field kind of thing, whatever it may be. And I'm wondering, okay, is that going to align with what he's saying within this, you know? And it is sort of interesting to think about that and to examine it as we go along. So the first verse, he declares that. And then he continues and says this: Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groanings. Oh, okay. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. So we see that we've got a bit of a plaintive type of thing going on home. We've got a groaning. The Lexham says, give heed to my sighing. The King James says, consider my meditation. My meditation. So we can see the nuances of inferences right here and how these words and what they may mean. It's the reason it's so useful to read several translations within your language. But it's asking God to listen to his word, to give ear to his word. And so it's likely to be a mournful, plaintive type of an accompaniment that's going on right here. David continues, verse 2, give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. So he's asking him, he says, God, you know I'm praying to you. I'm praying to you. You are my God. You are my King. And I'm asking you to give attention to something, to give heed to something. As New American Standard says, Lexham says, listen to the sound of my pleading, of my cry. He's asking God, pleading with him, to listen to him. Well, why is that? Well, we'll see as we go along. Verse 3, the psalmist continues to not so much build a defense, but to tell God what God already knows. Verse 3, O Lord, in the morning, you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. King James says, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You know, a New American Standard, eagerly watch, eagerly await. He's saying, I prepare a sacrifice. Well, is he talking about an actual physical going to the tabernacle sacrifice? Or is it this? Look at the New American Standard. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. So they're interpreting that word sacrifice to be tied into what the context is of that of prayer. King James says the same thing. The lexicon sort of puts it more in the vernacular. In the morning, I will set forth my case to you, and I will watch. You know, I'm going to present my case. So it's probably not limited to the idea, in the morning I prepare a sacrificial lamb for you and watch. But in the morning I bring a sacrifice of prayer, a sacrifice of praise to you, God, and then I wait for you. Verse 4, we see more. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. So what's going on right here? Why is David crying out? Why is he saying, give ear, Lord, listen to me. As I'm groaning, why is he groaning? Because there's some wickedness afoot here. Something is going on. We're going to see more later in the psalm. Defines it a little more. But he's letting God know that he knows. He says, I know you're not a God. I know you do not delight in wickedness. I know you don't take pleasure in wickedness. And I know that evil does not dwell with you. And so how does that knowledge help us? Well, we know this, that when evil comes against us, okay, from without, from within, we can know that that's not of God, because God does not delight in wickedness. He does not delight in evil. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going on here. Verse 5, David says this, the boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers, all workers of iniquity. God hates all workers of iniquity. And you do get into this thing where people say, was there any hope for those who are workers of iniquity? Well, absolutely. Such were all of us. Okay? And so, you know, quite often, you know, I'll say this sometime, that God hates the evil, but he loves the one who's doing it, okay? He hates the iniquity. He hates that, but he loves the person. But I don't want to be too flippant sounding like that, like you're trying to excuse something. No, David's saying forthright. The boastful aren't, they're not going to stand before you. The ones who are boasting in their iniquity, who are boasting in their evil, they are not going to stand because you hate that. To what degree does God hate it? Well, verse 6, this will be the last verse we look at today. It says this, you destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Okay? The Lord is going to destroy those who speak with lies, who speak falsehood. King James, this is interesting. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. Leasing, L-E-A-S-I-N-G. And that means a lie, an untruth, a falsehood, a deceptive thing. I'm not sure I've ever been aware of that word being used in that way. You know, my mind is sort of going, does that give insight into how we use the word that we're going to lease something? I have to think about that. But anyway, David is saying this, Lord, I know that you destroy those who speak lies, and I know that you abhor the bloodthirsty guy, the deceitful man, men who live in this way. Lord, I know that you hate this. So listen to me, God. Obviously, David is having to deal with some of this at this moment, and he's wanting God to do something. We'll see what that is in the next episode. Hey, thank y'all for your time, and I'll see you then. Goodbye.